Said, as was promised by our Lord. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and fill us everyone. Yes, this power from heaven descended with the sound of rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said he would send. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and fill us everyone. Yes, this old time power was given to our fathers who were true. This is promised to believers that we all may have it too. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now and fill us everyone. It's what we got to have, neighbor. Amen. 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 Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. We've got to do that a little bit more. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? Sing, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been over mountains, and I've walked through the valleys, and from trouble's cup I've had my sip. But heaven's eternal at the end of my journey. Oh, it's worth every mile of the trip. And like a happy pilgrim who's arrived on that shore and forgot how the waves tossed his ship, if I could see Jesus smile, hear him say, well done, my child, oh, it'll be worth every mile of the trip. Well, I stood at the bedside of a Christian departing, and I've heard these last words from his lips. I see the crystal stream flowing. I feel the gentle breezes blowing. Oh, it's worth every mile of the trip. As he entered the harbor of that heavenly city, there to anchor his battered ship down, he joined in the chorus of that heavenly choir. Oh, it's worth every mile of the trip. And like a happy pilgrim who's arrived on that shore and forgot how the waves tossed his ship, if I could see Jesus smile, hear him say, "Well done, my child," oh, it'll be worth every mile of the trip. You better believe it's going to be worth every mile of the trip, praise God. Every mile, every trial, every difficulty, every burden, it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus, amen. I thank God the King is coming, amen. Just any day now, our Lord's returning. I thank God for it. Judges chapter number 15. Judges chapter number 15. When you find your place, we'll stand back up for just a moment. If you can, we'll reverence reading God's word. Judges chapter number 15. Looked and started in this text last night. Got a little sidetracked, but it was sort of, I tell you what, every rabbit trail's not a bad one, praise God. Amen. I pastored a place that's got lots of rabbits in that pulpit, and I run a few every once in a while. And some of them rabbits, praise God, that run out of there are Holy Ghost rabbits. You ought to run them every once in a while. Amen. Praise God. Some of them, sometimes they get to coming out so quick you can't pick which one you want to run. Say amen. Luke chapter number 50. It's good to have Brother Eddie Graham slip up and be with us today. We appreciate Brother Eddie. Leads a choir at the Back to Bethel meeting in China Grove. He pastors in Concord, North Carolina. And we thank the Lord for him being here this evening. We enjoyed some good days with him just a few weeks ago and thank the Lord for what he did in that meeting. How many got saved in those 2 weeks, brother? 12, 15 people got saved in those 2 weeks, and I thank the Lord for it, and I bless his name. The Bible said when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and its bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." And it came to pass, when he had made the end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi, the hill of the jawbone. The Bible said he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." But God clave and hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You could be seated. I want you to look at verse number 18, where I'll take my text tonight. But the Bible said he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst." and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. I said last night, as we looked into these verses, we find ourselves in the middle of the story of the hero Samson that's recorded in the book of Judges. You understand, Samson was the very last judge that was written about in the book of Judges. We understand that Samuel was the last judge known to the nation of Israel. But listen, I say to you, in the book of Judges, there's no other judge outside of Samson that we see more of his life than we do with Samson. I've been studying all day regarding another thought out of Samson's life. And the writer made this statement, Brother Jeff. He said, had it not been for the lady at Timnath, had it not been for the harlot at Gaza, had it not been for this time with Delilah, most of the record of Samson's life would have gone unrecorded in the Word of God. May I say to you, Samson had a honey problem. He had a problem with the honey that walked on two legs, and he had a problem with the honey that, listen, the bees made. Amen. Of the beloved honey and the beehive honey, as one writer said. He had difficulty controlling his flesh. I said yesterday, as we preach on the Samson, of the great character of Samson, in many cases, we don't preach about what a child of God ought to do, but we preach about the pitfalls of Samson's life that we ought to steer clear of by the help of an almighty God. If you'll begin to study the book of Judges, there was a vicious cycle that you find with the book of Judges. The nation of Israel would find themselves into bondage, and then they would call upon the name of the Lord, and then God would raise up a judge and deliver them out of the hands of that oppressor. But it wouldn't be long, fellas, until what would happen? They would plunge back into their sin, and God would raise up another oppressor, and then they would call on God, and God would deliver them again. Then they'd fall back into the depths. Listen, the Bible said in Judges 13, when Samson makes an appearance, the Bible said the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. 8 times that statement is made in the book of Judges. And brother, I believe we're living in that kind of day. I believe the book of Judges is as much a representation of the hour in which you and I live in this day. Judges 21:25 said, in that day there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you better believe that is a great description of the hour in which you and I live in. I mean, the men of Samson's day, they had no vision, they had no victory. And the thing that broke the cycle was Samson. Of the nation of Israel had been in bondage for 40 years. They had been under the oppression of the Philistine rulers, but never one time did they raise their voice and call on God. They had got content to be under the bondage of that Philistine rule. And you better believe that's where we are tonight, Brother Tripp. We're living in a day where the majority of people in our churches, they're used to living in the world. They don't want you to stir the pot. They want to be saved enough not to go to hell and to know they're going to heaven. But they become so used to and they become so accustomed to the bondage and, listen to me, the oppression of this world. It's been so long since they've had any victory in their Christian life, any joy, any zeal about what they're doing. We've got used to living in this world. We've got used to living in this world. I said the other night, the problem in America is not the White House. But I'm telling you, the problem in America is our pulpits. I mean, honest with you, many pulpits in our day are filled by defeated men who have no victory, who have no vision, who have no unction, who have no power. Amen. I mean, I want to praise God that I was reared in a place where a man walked with God, had unction from heaven, the fire of God burning in his soul, had introduced me what it was to know the power of God. I'm telling you what, I go to youth meetings and I hear men give an invitation to young preachers or young men and say, if you want to preach, come forward and volunteer. Let me tell you something, I didn't volunteer. I got drafted, I got called into this thing. Had there not been a call, I would have quit. and took my tail a long time ago. And I'm afraid a lot of good men and young boys don't realize there's other things they can do if they want to serve God. But honey, outside of a call, and because of things like that, we've got men who've never been called. They've never been freed. They've never been fired. And they're trying to lead us in a direction. God, help us. Give us some men that are filled with the power of God, who've got a call and an anointing and an unction of the power of God in their life. God, help us men to stand up without fear and apology and preach. Amen. Amen. They were so complacent in their day. They were so complacent in their day. Verse 11 shows how complacent they were. Brother Grant, the only time the nation of Israel ever raised an army in Samson's lifetime was to go bind Samson and give him to the nation of the Philistines. Huh? The only time, amen. You say, I like preaching. I like old-fashioned preaching. You let that old-fashioned preacher start naming sin by name. Amen. You let him start calling. You let him start preaching about dress. You let him start preaching about separation from the world. You let him start preaching about, hey, listen, your children. Listen, God help you. If a man of God will stand and preach to your kids and try to keep them out of sin and try to keep them out of hell, you ought to praise God that these, listen, he loves them enough that he'll tell them the truth. Amen. Amen. I mean, God help in this day. If you preach on sin, listen, you can look. I used to know the statistics of it. I can't remember anymore. You pray for me. But there's so many lists of individual sins, over 100 individual sins that are listed in that Bible. And fellas, if we're going to preach, and we're going to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, every once in a while we're going to have to nail some things, call it by name. Listen, it's not an alcoholic, it's a drunk, praise God. It's not somebody that's committed an affair, it's a whoremonger and an adulterer. Listen, we've got so complacent. When a man gets up, I believe it was very Havner said, we've lived so subnormal that if somebody lives a normal Christian life, we think it's abnormal. Amen. God, give us another generation. We're living in the vestibule of the coming of Christ. God, give us some men that have got some vision and some victory, that'll stand and say, by the grace of God, I know we're living in the last hour, but God, help us make a difference in this day. Amen. You say out. Man, listen to me. I love our children enough, I'm going to draw it tight. Tight. Amen. I used to hold the plants back when my dad would plow the garden. When they'd get up big enough, the tomato plants, when they were, the branches were hanging near the ground, my job was to walk in front of the plow and hold the plants back. So when the tines went by, it didn't cut the tomato plants up into pieces. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, Daddy taught me years ago, cut it close. Amen. Can I tell you something? The closer I let the plow, the closer I let that tiller get to the plant, the less hoeing I had to do. Say amen. Amen. But I tell you what, Brother Whiteheart, I'm going to preach it tight. But I'm going to tell them kids also, I'm going to preach it so that they know if they do get out there in the world and the world gets the victory in their life and the world ruins them and abuses them and leaves them, I want them to know the same door they walked out of is the same door they can come back in, and they'll still be a man with a King James Bible, still singing the old-fashioned songs, still loving sinners and loving the saints of God. I say, God, give us some men. Help us not to be like they were in Samson's day, where the only time they wanted to get together was to bind up the man that who could deliver them. What about it? Here it was, the only man that could deliver the nation of Israel. They had bound him and turned him over to the enemy. God, help us in this day not to be that kind of Christian. Amen. Amen. Judah's ignorance of Samson being a deliverer. Brother Eddie reminds me of this world's ignorance of Jesus Christ being the only deliverance. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll let some of this psychobabble that comes out of the world creep into the ministries of our church. Amen, friend. Amen. Listen to me. There's not a program out there. I don't care if it's a worldly program. I don't care if it's a Christian program that's got a Christian name or that implements worldly philosophy. Honey, the only thing I've ever found that can take a black heart of a man or wash it in red blood and wash it, make it white as snow, is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God Almighty. Honey, we don't need the world's ways. We don't need the world's philosophies. We don't need the world's money. I'm glad, thank God, we can contend for the faith and preach that Bible and know that the power of God is still sufficient to change the life of men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. Let's just be honest. We can't compete with the world at being like the world. Are you listening? That's why, amen. That's why we're not going contemporary. That's why we're on a Friday night of a camp meeting. We're not going to have some rock band come in here to try to attract the teenagers. Let me just tell you something, moms and dad, if you bring your teenagers, they'll be here. Amen. Amen. God help mom and dad. It's not time to let them go and let them loose. It's time to bring them to the house of God with all the wickedness and hell that's going around. God, give us some moms and dads and grandparents. Mom and dad, listen, grandmom and dad, the Bible said there is no discharge from this war. It ain't time. Pray them grandbabies out of hell. Pray them out of them liberal places. Pray them out of them compromising places. Pray them under the influence of a spirit field, Holy Ghost anointed Bible preaching man. Amen. Man, I don't know where. Amen. Amen. God help us. I go to places and I get worried. I get real worried when I look around and everybody's got silver hair. I'm going to tell you something. I get as worried when I go to places and I see no silver hair. Because them ones that ain't got no silver hair have no heritage. They have no stability. They have no anchors to keep them from being led away into false doctrine and apostasy. I get worried when it's all silver-haired folk because they've got no following. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't you believe the world. You men, listen to me. Amen. Don't you believe the brethren that say you're going to have to change to attract the young people. If you think that's a truth that YouTube or sister was talking about, you ought to go in there and type these four letters, NGYC. Just type it in there and watch them 250 teenagers in an old-fashioned choir singing old songs like I'll Take the Old Highway. Watch them sing. Watch them sing Hallelujah to the Lamb. Honey, I'm telling you what, listen, the reason the world's getting them, we ain't got enough power of God in our churches anymore to blow the fuzz off a peanut hull. But can I tell you, if we'll keep the services hot with the power of God, that world won't have the draw on our children like it does in this hour. Amen. Let's just be honest. Half of our members are sitting on Pentecostal churches, pews, because they want to feel something. And I ain't going to lie, I want to feel something when I go to church. Amen. I'm glad I've got something that's more than feeling, Brother Tripp. I'm glad, thank God, when my feelers broke and I can't figure it out, I'm glad I got a Bible that's black and white, that's above the clouds. It lives above the storm. It lives above my emotion. But honey, every once in a while, I want the Holy Ghost to walk in the gable into my soul and pour about 3.5 miles of the grace of God down in my soul and let me rejoice. We ought to feel something every once in a while. They were in a mess. They'd done got so complacent they had bound their only deliverer. Don't you listen, you old timers. Don't you think that the only way you're going to keep young people is to bow to this contemporary God help mess. Let me tell you something. If I was going to go that way, I'd have stayed lost. Because the world can do it better than we can. Amen. God help. I mean, you go watch them youngins sing hallelujah to the Lamb on that. That's a 70s choir song. 1970s choir song. And you watch it when it gets on, and about 5 or 6 or 10 of them young preachers pile out of that choir and take them a lap. I didn't say 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old. I said teenage boys. Amen. That cuts their flesh a little bit and sort of whacks their pride a little bit. Watch some of them little teenage girls with their makeup a running, their mascara down the side of their face, with their hands go up and their head goes back, and they shout like a Comanche Indian. You say, I don't believe that's in there. Honey, you just go ahead and keep that dead stuff. I'll keep exhorting them children to worship God. I'm telling you what, there's some worship got me through some dark hours of my Christian life. God, help us not to get complacent in this dead world. You say, preacher, you're fussing at us. I'm not fussing. I'm preaching. Best I can tell, I ain't preached but in one church up here. One church. Amen. So I don't know what it is that you're... I'm not fussing. I'm preaching. Amen. Let me just say a word. Amen. Can I say, it could be filled again. Thank God for Brother Lackey. Thank God for men of God like that that had vision and built a place like this so another generation could go on serving God. But may I say to you, all the Brother Lackeys aren't dead. All the great men of God are not gone. But there's still some that lace up shoe leather today that have been freed and fired and touched by the Holy Ghost. And God can do it again. Amen. Amen. Hey, some of y'all just walk the pulpit Sunday and just absolutely come unglued. I mean, I'll be honest with you, after that Supreme Court ruling, I thought I'd have been a compromiser had I went to the pulpit Sunday not saying something about it. You say, what happened? Man, I got to reading about Dan. Y'all okay? Everybody all right? Check the pulse. I know it ain't Friday. This ain't necessarily a Friday night camp meeting, but it's what's in my heart. Amen. You know what Daniel did? That decree came down from the king, hey, that he was going to have to answer to him if anybody prayed and if anybody served God, anybody prayed to anybody else out of him. You know what that Bible said? He went back home, opened his windows, and the Bible said he did as he had done aforetime. Hey, he didn't change one thing. He didn't quieten his prayer. He went in there, opened the windows again. You say, what do we need to do, preacher? Man of God, you need to get somewhere Saturday night or Sunday morning and let God fill you until you're overflowing, and let God fill you to your place you're full, and then walk into that pulpit and preach yourself empty. Amen. It ain't time to change. It's not time to back up. It's not time to get quiet. It's time to do what we've been doing. Preach and pray and shout and sing and love sinners and edify the saints. We need to do what we've been doing for the last 50 years. Amen. Amen of God. Hallelujah. You may be the only one in there. Amen. Amen. You may be the only one in your place that could deliver that. Why don't you let God cut you loose and preach like, praise God. Amen. I'd rather, listen, I done got 2 degrees. I done written my, y'all may not think I'm educated. I graduated from honors at high school. I graduated honors in finance at college. I was a commercial banker before I was a preacher with a finance degree. I've got my master's degree in Bible, and I've already wrote my doctoral dissertation, so I do have a little bit of education. But can I tell you, I'd burn every degree I got for one more touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I turn every diploma I've got in. I'd give every book I've got back for God only one more time to anoint me with His power. Amen. God, why don't you go to church Sunday and let God cut the bands or the ropes that have got you bound and let you preach like you want to preach. You say, well, they may vote me out. Well, at least they'll know they voted a preacher out. Everybody okay? Amen. You know what happened? He bound them. And I like what the Bible said. Verse number, I done beat my Bible open to another chapter. Don't worry, I got a new one waiting on me at home. Amen. I preached out of Psalms so long, I beat five books of Psalms out of five different Bibles. I like what it said in verse 14. And the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. What happened when God got on him? What happened when God got on Samson? Them little weak cords that the Philistines had him bound with fell off. And listen to me, that's indicative of what happens to you and I. Or those things that have got us bound, that sin that's got us bound, or that depression and discouragement that's got us bound, or that lack of confidence that's got us bound, or that lack of ability that's got us bound. Honey, can I tell you, when God gets on a man, he's got the ability to loose him and to set him free. If by his word he can set a Lazarus free from the grips of death, don't you believe God got enough power to set you free from whatever's got you bound? How long's it been since you've been free? You've heard some of these saints of God praise Him. You've seen our little fella come around here. He gets right here, takes him a few quick steps. If I didn't think I'd hurt him, I'd pick him up and run with him. I started to take a lap with him the other night, Brother Eddie, and I thought, man, I'll get happy and run over him and hurt him, praise God. Amen. You thought, man, I wish I could do that again. You've heard some of these ladies shout, praise God. Some of you other ladies thought there, I used to do that. And you want to, but it seems like when you want to start praying, something's just got you bound. Amen. Can I tell you something the Spirit of God sets you free to? Let me give you three things. Number one, I want you to notice in our text, there's a glaring need. A glaring need in verse number 18. Some would think Samson was at his strongest when he killed the lion. And that had to be a man to kill a lion. Some thought Samson was at his strongest when he killed 30 Philistines, took their clothes off of them and paid a gambling debt. Some would have thought Samson was the strongest when he hooked up on the gates of Gaza, tore them off their beams, and walked down the street up the mountain with them gates of Gaza on his back. Some thought he was at his strongest when he caught 300 foxes, tied them tail to tail. Now, if I was preaching on that text at a youth meeting, I'd preach right there on y'all to get your tail on fire for God. Adults struggle with that title sometimes, but them kids like it. Amen. Amen. Can I say a word to you, Bubba? There's only one way Samson could have called them, tied them together, and set them on fire. You know what he had to do? First, he had to touch them. There was no way he could tie them tail to tail without him touching them. You know what we need tonight? We need God to tie some of us tail to tail together, put a firebrand. You know what that fire, I looked at that word firebrand. That word firebrand means it was something that was soaked in oil. And one writer said it this way, it was easily lit, but hard to extinguish. Amen. You say, how should I go to church on Sunday? You ought to soak yourself in oil somewhere before you get there. And listen to me, the first spark that comes along ought to set you ablaze. You ought to be easily lit. And you ought to be hard to extinguish. He had to touch them. When he got touching them, you know what happened? He torched them. Amen. Torched them. You know why we're not making much of an impact in this world? We ain't been torched. He's touched us, but we ain't hung around long enough to get torched. You know what God done torching them? He turned them in the right direction toward them Philistines, shocks, and their cornfields and their barley fields, and burnt the whole field down. That's why the Philistines are mad. When's the last time our church burned any devil's field down? You know what we ought to do in just a little while? We ought to fall on an altar and say, oh God, touch me again, Lord. And when you get done touching me, torch me. And then when you get me good and torch, set me aflame and send me into the world to make an impact. There was a glaring need, but that's not when Samson was at his strongest. Some would say Samson was at his strongest when he put his hands on the pillars and pushed them down. Killed more in his martyrdom than he did his whole life. But it didn't have to be that way. Let me just say to you young people in here, think you can go to the world and just come back and everything's going to be all right. Let me tell you something. Samson did get a fresh start, but Samson died blind. Samson didn't get everything back that he lost when he went out to follow his own flesh. There are some things that forgiveness won't do. Everybody okay? Amen. Yes, you may get a new start. Yes, God may restore you. But may I say to you, you may not get everything back that you left when you went to the world. Amen. There's a glaring need. I believe Samson was the strongest that Samson had ever been. I believe it's in verse 18 when he starts calling on the Lord. For the first time in Samson's life, do you realize, Brother Sam, not one time ever did Samson ever lead the nation of Israel into one battle. He always fought them by himself. And for the first time in Samson's life, he quit acting like a spoiled brat and said, God, I need you. I need you. I'm talking about a glaring need. And may I say to you, I don't know a lot, but this is about what I do almost every night of my life. My boys are growing up under my nose while I'm out preaching and traveling the ground. And listen, our church, we're trying to do the work of God. But can I tell you what I'm seeing when I travel? I sit on our own place at times. But there's a glaring need, man. There's people that I'm preaching to week in and week out and week in and week out. Honey, if they don't get some water soon, they're going to die of thirst in the pew, in the choir, in a Sunday school class, in a pulpit. There's a glaring need all over America. I'm talking about an urgent. It didn't matter to him how many people he killed because now he was dying of thirst. He didn't care how many gates he'd carried off. He didn't care what he had done because now he was in a place that he couldn't meet the need of his hour. Can I tell you something? We're living in an hour. We can't meet the need on our own. We've got to have God. I see there's two people that are illustrated in Samson's life that need a fresh touch of revival and a fresh drink of water. First of all, there's the wayward. The wayward. Samson needed a drink because Samson was controlled by his flesh. Samson mastered everything he came up against except himself. If Samson would have ever learned how to master Samson, he would have done more than what the Bible said. He began to deliver Israel. Brother Tripp, if he would have mastered Samson, if he would have learned how to control Samson, he would have been absolutely the greatest judge that the nation of Israel would have ever known. But Samson couldn't contain his flesh. Samson couldn't control his flesh. And because of that, he needed a drink. He needed a touch of revival in his life. We're living in a day of a whole lot of flesh. A whole lot of flesh. Amen. And the wayward need a drink. Can I tell you somebody else that needs a drink? Not just the wayward, but the weary need a drink. My mother, he just killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass. I don't know if I could kill 1,000 men with a M16 machine gun. Are you listening? But he just took a jawbone of a dead ass and whipped 1,000 men. And I promise you, it wasn't just some flunkies, because they knew who he was. The nation, they weren't scared of the nation of Israel. They were scared of Samson. They weren't one lick worried about the nation of Israel, but there was one man in Israel that they were worried about. And I promise you, they didn't run their little 1,000 flunkies out there to him. He took probably that jawbone of ass and killed the greatest 1,000 men that the Philistines had. And he was standing there, don't you know? I mean, man, I've wrestled. We played around on the wrestling mats, and we've wrestled and we've slammed one another. And after about 15 minutes, I promise you, it felt like my backside was somewhere down around my ankles. I didn't think I was going to be able to walk to the water fountain. And brother, can you imagine what he must have felt like after killing 1,000 men in hand-to-hand combat? He was standing there probably about to pass out. And may I say, some of you have served God for a long time. Some of you are young couples that are doing a lot in your church. You're here on a Friday night. And if you're not careful, you'll get to the place where you're so dry because you're weary from the journey. You're weary from the conflict. You're weary from the battle. And if you're not careful, and if you don't get a drink, oh, you're going to perish where you're at. Everybody ain't thirsty because they're not right with God. Some are thirsty because they're in the battle. Are you listening? Some of you men of God, pastoring your church, you're weary. You're weary. Let me just say a word to you, fellas. God never called us to be successful. God called you to be faithful. Amen. And success in God's mind and success in our minds may be two different things. Are you listening? You be faithful. You be faithful to take that book and feed the people of God and lead them somewhere. Do something for the Lord. Be faithful. Can I tell you something? Sometimes just being faithful will suck the life out of you. I'm talking about weary. Hey, he wasn't just weary from battling the foe. What do you think he must have felt like, Brother Tripp, when the Israelites walked up to him and said, hey, we're not here to kill you because we ain't got guts enough to kill you, but we're going to tie you up and take you to the Philistines and let them kill you. I mean, that's rightly divided. That's what they did. They turned him over to the Philistines for the Philistines to kill him. I wonder how he felt about that. Here I've just gone and burned all of the Philistines' fields, and they're mad. That's like saying, hey, I just went out in High Point and won everybody to God, and now my church is mad at me. Amen. Can I tell you something? It ain't just weariness. And it's not just the conflict with the foe that'll get you weary. It's the conflict with your friends. And I'll be honest with you, it's a whole lot easier for me to battle my foes than it is for me to battle my friends. I'm talking about weary. I wonder how many times in the last 6 months the men of God sitting in here have contemplated resigning your church. Not because God told you to, but just because you're tired and weary. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody. I'm talking about weary. Keep shouting. And I say it with all due respect. I'm not making, because I want to tell you something. That's what I was raised on. And there's nothing in a service that moves me something quite like that does, because it reminds me of where I came from and what's been put in me. And I can go into a meeting. I've been preaching every week since the second week of June. Every week. We were supposed to have a week off in August for my wife's 20th anniversary. I'm not singing no sad stories. I'm just using an illustration. I've got the best life there is. We're supposed to have a week off and go for my 20th anniversary, my, My wife's uncle got killed in a farm accident right beside our farm at home. So we had to do all that. And I want to tell you something. There's some Monday nights when I'll pull into a place. And I'm just being honest, Brother Whiteheart. I preached all day Saturday. Or I preached Friday night and Saturday. Went home. Last Sunday, Brotherhood starts at 7. My son and I got up at 3:45 to go to Brotherhood to cook Brotherhood breakfast with our men. We had church. I preached. Took a visiting family to dinner. Came back. Had choir practice at 5. I direct the choir. Preached again at 6. Got up and made what visits I needed to on Monday. Got in a truck. Came in here in time to take a shower and come to church. I'm going to tell you, some nights my feet drag. And my heart drags. But I'll walk in here and I'll hear that little low cry. Then I'll see a little feller say, and I hear somebody on the other side say, hallelujah. I hear somebody say, amen, preacher, let us have it, preach. And all of a sudden that weariness departs. All of a sudden the Holy Ghost walks up and reminds me of what I'm doing, what's he done. He's claimed me out a drink somewhere out of a hollow place, and he's let me have a fresh drink from the well, amen. I'm talking about an urgent need, an urgent condition. But then there was an ushering call. Look at that verse. He had just been saying, I have heaps upon heaps. Heaps upon heaps. I did it. But look what he said in verse 18. What's he said in verse 18? Thou hast given this great deliverance. All of a sudden, Samson's not flexing his muscles. All of a sudden, Samson's on his knees. Saying, God, I didn't do that. You did it. Lord, you did it. God, how many times do we take the Lord's credit for what he does? Let me tell you something. There's something that the Lord's jealous of, and that's his glory. Amen. You better give him all the glory for what he does. It's his glory. It's his church. It's his word. This is his world. Praise God. Honey, he ought to get the glory for it. All of a sudden, he wasn't the hero. All of a sudden, he said, I'm your servant. He was a humbled soldier. He was an honoring servant. But he said, Lord, I'm about to perish with thirst. He was a hurting saint. And he, in his weakness and brokenness. Can I tell you something? When you work, all you've got is what you can do with the power of your hands. But when you pray, you've got the power that hung the universe at your disposal. Go ahead and work, go ahead and labor in the power of the flesh, and all you'll get is what the flesh can produce. Can I tell you something about prayer? The only thing that lies outside the reach of prayer is that which lies outside the will of God. And there's a whole lot that's not in the will of God, but there's a whole lot that is in the will of God. There was a glaring need. But then there was a gracious nourishment. God didn't say, hey, you know, Samson, as fleshly as you've been, go ahead and die. Samson, won't you go ask Delilah to give you a drink? Won't you run back over to Gaza and ask that harlot to give you a drink of water? Run back over to, oh, no, they killed that Timnath girl because of your wickedness. You can't ask her. That ain't what he said. In a place where there was no water, just a rock, God reached in there. Now you say, listen, there's a lot of men. I don't know if I think he claved it out of the rock. Some people, they use the actual jawbone, that he did it in the jawbone. Let me tell you something. I don't care if it was the jawbone of the ass or the rock. They ain't no water in either one of them. Amen. And probably if he did it out of the jawbone, that'd be more of a miracle to get enough water out of a jawbone to quench a man's thirst who just killed 1,000 men with his bare hands. Amen. one way or the other, there was a miraculous provision. Honey, we're living in a demon-possessed world. And let's just be honest, the majority of the world don't want what we've got. But you better hear me, there still are some folks that are walking the highways and hedges that are still looking for something that's real and something that'll take their hopelessness and give them hope and take their shame and guilt and give them hope and take their sin and give them salvation and take their and give them heaven. And thank God, in a land where there was no water, God gave him a drink. Amen. You say, preacher, if you just knew where I was, ain't no water. If you just knew my God, he don't need no water. He make his own. Because let me just say to you, he made every bit of water you see by the word of his mouth. Matter of fact, he made everything you see. 9 statements in Genesis 1, and God said, amen. Go ask Israel. They smote the rock, water came out of it. Go ask Israel, they put a tree. I guarantee we get Calvary back in our water, it might make it sweet, amen. Amen. Dropped a tree in the bitter waters of Marah and made it sweet. God can make water in a dry and thirsty land. A gracious nourishment. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you had a good drink? I was sitting on a platform one night, and man, them kids was a shouting and praising God. It had been a while. And I was sitting by one of my young preachers that surrendered preacher, Brother Willards, and he's pastoring a church in Kentucky, and he's preaching for us that night. And old Brother James leaned over to me, Brother Jeff, and said, you know, preacher, he said, it's been a while since I've had a real good drink. He said, but I'm still sipping off the last one I got. Hey, can I tell you something? It may have been a while, but he can dig a well in your heart tonight that you can sip on for a long time to come. There's one thing about it. He clave the water out. But I don't see anywhere in that text where God forced him to drink. Amen. He clave the hole out in the rock. But somewhere in there, Samson had to take some initiative on his own and get his own drink. Are you listening? How long has it been since you had a good drink? I'm preaching tonight, oh Lord, give me a drink. There was a glaring need. There was a gracious nourishment. But then, Lotus, in your Bible, and I'm done, there was a given name. He called the place in Hakor. You know what that word means? It means the well of him that called upon the Lord. Didn't say the well of the man that carried the gates off. Didn't say the well of the man who killed 30 Philistines and took their garments. Didn't say the well of the man who killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass. He said, this is the place of the well of the man who called upon the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad there is such a thing as a sweet hour of prayer? I like this last thing and I'm done. Notice your Bible, verse 19. It says, they call the name thereof in Hakor, which is in Lehi, unto this day. Not only the significance of the well, it was the well of the one who called upon the name of the Lord. But what about the sustaining of the well? The writer said, it's still there. Can I tell you something, Brother Jeff? God dug a well in my heart about 20-something years ago. And I've had to go back and get a drink or two, but he ain't never had to dig another well. I've just had to drop my bucket in there and get me another sip, run a little while. But can I tell you something? God's got that. You young people listen to me. If God ever digs one in your life, he won't have to dig another. You may have to get a sip every once in a while, but he can do something for you that'll last till you get to heaven. Lord, give me a drink. Let's just be honest. I'm probably preaching to preachers and some preachers' wives. You're weary. Weary. I'm probably preaching to some of the best members of the churches that make up this meeting. And I'll be honest with you, some of you have come this week, and instead of the meeting being a source of edification, you've looked around, and some of you have got great memories. It's almost been like, man. Boy, it just ain't like it was. And you've got weary. Let me tell you something. God still got the power to give you a drink of the goodness of God in a dry land. How long has it been? Are you just content to be in this world? Are you content? Don't want nobody, to stir the pot. Preacher, do you really have to preach on all them things you preach on? Don't you know that repels? Let me tell you something. We have 500, 600 kids, 550 kids come to camp. I wouldn't have to change but a couple things and I'd have some money kids. I'd have to have a month's worth. And I'm not being prideful. I'm just saying I done had too many groups call me and say, well, if you wouldn't make our kids do this while they were there, we'd bring them, but we're just afraid they won't like that. I didn't know it. Yeah. What happens is them kids come get on fire for God and come get right with God and then go home and it makes their parents uncomfortable. Go home and clean their closets out. And we don't even say much a word about them things. God does all that. Because if they do it for a man, it won't last. But if God ever works on them, it'll last. Amen. And go home and make mom and dad nervous because they've done stepped out there somewhere mom and dad ain't never been. Amen. I'm not talking about something I heard. I'm talking about something I've lived for the last 11 years doing them camps. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about you get weary. But it ain't time to change. I remember years ago, and I'm done. Come on, sister, back to the piano. Brother Willard said they lived in a, they lived right there near where Brother Edgar pastored in Faith, and there was an old road right there. I remember going down the road when I was a boy before they changed it. There was a deep curve right before it went down just a little road that had all the mill houses right down both sides of the road, right over close to the New Holland Mill. And there was a big curve right there. And Brother Willard said him and a bunch of his buddies got in a big old long car, Brother David. He said, man, it looked like a locomotive. He said, man, we got six of us grown boys got in that thing. And he said, Brother Mark, he said, that was one of them old cars that you pull the throttle out. It wasn't, you pulled it out. And he said, then we all got in that car and we was headed down that road and the guy that was driving wanted to see how fast we could make that curve. And this is almost a 180 degree turn, just about it. So he said, so what he did, he reached out there and pulled that throttle back as far as it would come back. And then he bent it down. There wasn't no turning back. Now, they didn't make it through the curve. They went head over heels out in that field. But you know what we need to do in this day and time? We ought to pull the throttle back, bend it down, and say, by the grace of God, we're going in full speed. You say, I can't do it. You get a good enough drink, you can. You get a good enough drink, you can. Listen, we're not going to sing tonight. We're not going to sing 45 verses. It's pretty plain. Do you need a drink this evening? Do you need a fresh touch of the power of God? Can I tell you something? It's easy to get complacent. You know all you got to do to let bread get stale? You don't have to go out in the yard and throw it out there in the trash. You don't have to go throw it in the dirt. You ain't got to go out and throw it in the pasture. You ain't got to go get manure on it or filth. All you got to do is leave the bread bag open. All you got to do is not twist the end and just expose that bread. You know what happens? The environment sucks the moisture out of that bread. Can And I tell you something, you ain't got to go get drunk this weekend. You've not got to go smoke dope this weekend. You've not got to go be unfaithful to your wife. As a Christian, all you've got to do to get dry is be exposed to this world. And it'll suck the water right out of you. This is my invitation. Preacher, I need a drink in this hour. I need a fresh touch. We're standing, they're singing. Why don't you, or they're playing. Why don't you mind the Lord?